we integrate all the technologies together for the producers. The first F is formulation. This is very hard to make the diet very precise, very balanced. So it's very hard. We are now developing the local database for swine nutrient requirements and for local feed evaluation and value data. So this is the basis for the formulations. So formulation is very, very difficult. And the second is fermentation, combined with enzyme bodices. We right now have developed a lot of fermentation technologies.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy-D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Improve bone health and lifetime productivity with Hi-D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host today, and I have with me Daiwen Chen as my guest. Daiwen is a professor of animal nutrition at Sichuan Agricultural University in China. Welcome to our show, Daiwen.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to meet you here.
Absolutely. So today we're going to discuss Daiwen's experience in pig production in China and how they're trying to work to improve pig health and productivity. But before we begin, Daiwen, can you just take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, I am Daiwen Chen from Sichuan Agricultural University of China. And I entered the university in 1979, so it's 46 years ago. And after graduated from college and then studied for master degree for 3 years, in animal nutrition majors. And after that, in 1986, I was employed as a faculty of the university, working for teaching and research, so until now, so many years. But during the time, I went to USA for postdoc study in 1999, in the University of Wisconsin Madison, and after that, I came back to the university, continue for teaching and research, and I used to be the director of Animal Nutrition Institute of the university, and then was promoted to be the vice president of the university for over 12 years. And now I just retired from the positions, but still working as a professor in animal nutrition. I'm very interested in animal nutrition simply because my supervisor of the master degree is the famous professor, Professor Yang. He came back from USA in 1949. In 1949, he came back from USA, Iowa State University, and he is an animal nutritionist. So I started a master and a PhD, follow him, and I'm very interested. So many years passed, I have did a lot of research and also provide service for the industries. And I used to be the president of Animal Nutrition Association of China. Right now I'm an old man, but I still very very active in the field. Okay, that's my brief introduction.
Sunhee is a professional solution provider for enzymes, probiotics, and functional additives. We offer customized formulas to target nutritional issues in livestock and maximize the utility of animal feed. Find us on sunhee.com for more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a lot of years of experience, and it sounds like a great passion for animal nutrition. And so welcome to our show. And I'm excited to learn from you about what you've seen and kind of the comparison, your experiences in China and those compared to the U.S. and maybe other parts of the world. So just give us a brief description of the current position of China animal nutrition, science and technology compared to the rest of the world, in your view.
You know, in the past 20 years, China has made great progress and achievements in animal nutrition. I remember the year of 1999, I went to USA and I found everything is so developed and better than China. For example, we did not do a lot of research on animal nutrition before that. And we referred to research information and the papers, USA, come from USA. And also we adopt USA NRC recommendation of nutrient requirement and feed nutritional database. And also, we use USA textbook. We import a lot of additive from USA, and everything comes from USA, from Europe. And China is very far undeveloped. So, and also a lot of foreign companies came to China to develop market. And they did very well, and they made a lot of money from China. But right now, everything has changed. Everything has changed. We have developed our own system of nutrition and feeding program. For example, we have established our own feeding standard, like this book is. It's a China nutrient requirement of swine, and I'm the main of the editor, one of the main editors. It's a very huge book, much details than NRC recommendations. And also, we publish a lot of, we have done a lot of research covering from very basic to very applied area of animal nutrition, and also cover from the nutrient metabolism to the effects of nutrition on pork quality, on environment, and on the efficiency, everything. So we publish a lot of papers. I think right now, the number of papers published in animal nutrition in China ranks first in the world. And also we developed our system, my production system. For example, amino acids production ranks the first in the world, vitamin production. And a lot of compound feed yield ranks first, beginning from the year of 2011. Maybe it's accounting for almost the half of the world. So, and also the local company, large company, developed very, very rapidly. And at this time, a lot of foreign companies cannot compete with China local companies. So some of the company has withdrawn from China market. And also right now we have developed our own education systems. You know, in the past, there are a lot of young people pursue PhD or master degree outside of China. But right now, very few people going outside. And we can cultivate a lot of professional talents for the industry. So everything has changed. And I think China animal nutrition is among the global top tier. Global top tier, I mean, maybe among the top right now. Some areas, China is leading the position in some areas. But of course, we have a lot of the shortcomings right now. For example, the corn innovation is not enough. And a lot of research achievements have not been applied in practice. So, I mean, the paper, we have a lot of paper, but only few have been used very well. And also the animal production is productivity is still very low. And the efficiency is very low. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So just to make sure that I followed you correctly, is it sounded to me like in the 1990s that China was a bit behind in your mind on some of the research and publications. They were lacking a book like our NRC, the nutrient requirements that we used in the U.S. And it sounds like China has come a long way in that area in your eyes. And how you showed the audience, some of them are going to be listening and not watching. And so Dai Wen showed a book that was published that would essentially be my understanding as the Chinese NRC. So the nutrient requirements with a lot of really detailed information on feeding pigs. And then what he shared with us is the amount of research and papers that are coming out of China has completely changed from 30 years ago to today to becoming a leader in swine nutrition research. And maybe now what we're going to get into is the next step is to apply that research, right? And so let's talk a little bit about, jump into what you wanted to talk about, Dai Wen, is what does the production look like in China? And my understanding, I've not been to China, so this is just talking to people like you, is that there's some health challenges, and pig productivity may not be, reaching its highest level. And so what are some nutrition solutions that you're working on? And how do you see Chinese production changing to using some of that, really good academic information, but to apply it?
We have done a lot of research and published a lot of papers, but animal production is still relatively low, simply because China is a very large country and different area have different situations. A lot of producers do not have enough managers or enough professionals inside the company. So some of the scientific technology have not been applied very intensively. So the production is still very low. For example, PSY of pigs, you know PSY? The pigs of the number of pig per sow per year production. So it's right now it's only on average is around the 20s. But the top number is around the 30s in the world. But we still have very low, only 20. the top producers can reach 25, 20, 26, but still lower than the world level. And also the diet patterns is not suitable for China sustainability because we use a lot of corn and soybean meal. So each year we will import over 100 million tons of soybeans from USA, from Brazil. But right now, you know, the international trade situation has changed. So it's very hard for us to import this, so much amount of soybeans. So in this case, how can we use the local ingredients, especially agricultural byproducts, to replace soybean meal to provide the best animal production. But this is a very big challenge right now for us. I think, and also the management is not so well. Pig production, environmental pollution is still serious. So all the issues right now we face is the biggest challenge for China swine industries.
So Daiwen, the challenges that China faces is, you know, finding technical labor, right, managers and professionals that are out in practice in your farms. I understand in the U.S. Is what I'm familiar with. So we would have a soybean and corn-based diets, right, for most of our pig farms. And what I heard you say is you guys are working towards trying to change that and utilizing more local ingredients, maybe byproducts that are produced in China from other industries as a feeding substrate instead of importing all of that soybean meal from the U.S., Brazil, and other areas. And so how do you see this change going forward? How do you make those changes in farms? And is there things like a lot of changes at feed mills that need to be done? How do you do that in practice?
Right now, we have two solutions to solve this problem. One is to try to reduce the dietary level of proteins. The total proteins should be reduced. We have calculated that each 1% of protein reduction can save 2 or 3% of soybean meal usage. So right now we are promoted to use the low protein diet to reduce soybean meal. And the second one is the most challenges one is try to develop the feed alternative to soybean meal. You know, China is the big agriculture country and a lot of agriculture byproducts. But all the byproducts have a very low nutrient availability than the soybean meal. So for our scientists, we are studying how to modify the chemical structure of the byproducts by using feed processing like biotechnology, fermentation, enzymolysis. We use enzyme to destroy the chemical structures, and then we evaluate the modified feed evaluations and to try to develop the database for the feed meal. So this is what we are doing right now. But many are still under studies, but the change is very dramatically. Last year, For example, in our province, Sichuan province, Sichuan province is the number one swine producer in China. For our province, last year, we have saved over 1 million soybean meal last year. So it developed very fast. And also a lot of feed mills have changed the processing technologies. We all use like extruding, like fermentation, like as all together to process the byproducts, try to improve the nutrient utilizations for this ingredients, and it seems works very well, and we can save at least the half of soybean meal in the future. Maybe the near future, half of soybean meal can be saved, deleted from the diet formulation. This is what we are doing.
So Daiwen, how do you are you able to maintain the growth performance compared to a soybean meal diet in, you know, the modifications that you're able to make with different sources, different byproducts by reducing that level of protein? How do you keep the pigs growing as fast?
Sure. That's the biggest challenge for us. If we use ingredients worse than soybean or corn soybean meal, then animal performance will be decreased. So our solution is, firstly, is formulate the diet, try to formulate the diet very well, make it become a nutritionally complete diet to balance all the nutrients, all the nutrient source. This is the first step. And the second step is to proceed or modulate the diet very well. And the third one is to feeding style, changing the feeding style. For example, I mentioned that we use the liquid feed. So all the solutions combined together, animal performance can be maintained or reduced a little bit, but the total economy benefits will not be decreased.
Great. So, yeah, absolutely. So what I heard you say is using a strategy with different factors together, you've been able to accommodate for a maybe a little slower growth rate, but by doing some different things like feeding form, diet, liquid feeding is what you mentioned. So you told me about something you developed called the 3F nutritional strategy. Can you tell us what that is?
So this is what we are doing right now. So we integrate all the technologies together for the producers. The first F is formulation. This is very hard to make the diet very precise, very balanced. So it's very hard. We are now developing the local database for swine nutrient requirements and for local feed evaluation and value data. So this is the basis for the formulations. So formulation is very, very difficult. And the second is fermentation combined with enzymolysis. We right now have developed a lot of fermentation technologies. Sometimes we fermented the ingredients like rapeseed meal, like cottonseed meal. We fermented it and tried to change and modify the chemical structure and made the nutrient more utilized by animals. And also sometimes we use enzyme to hydrolyze the nutrients. Sometimes we fermented the whole diet, the whole complete diet, just before providing to the pigs. That means on-farm fermentation, just a few hours, and fermentation with enzymolysis, few hours treatment, that can be improve nutrient requirement and also the feed palatabilities. So fermentation is the second F. The third one is liquid feed, fluid feeding. Right now, we have developed how to make a liquid feed. Liquid feed does not mean a solid feed plus water. No? So we should use water, use a suitable ratio of the solid feed and water, and the suitable time and temperature, and also other additive like enzyme, like some beneficial bacteria, and prebiotic, some other additives together, and to treat the feed in the liquid for a few hours. And we have studied that this kind of treatment technologies can improve nutrient digestibility, maybe over 10%, 10%. And also liquid feed can improve feed intake of pigs dramatically. At least 10 or 50%. We have done a lot of research. So liquid feed is more palatable, and pigs like liquid rather than solid feed. So the three F come together, becomes a new integration nutritional strategies. And right now, a lot of producers has accepted these strategies, and almost the majority of swine producer has the liquid feeding system equipment, and in this case, animal performance can be improved dramatically. Well, experiment level can be reached to, for example, the FCR feed conversion efficiency, F to gain, feed to gain can reach the 2 point, can reach the two. FCR can reach two. And in the farming level can reach the 2.3. So this level, I think, is the world level, the world-based level. Therefore, all the producers, industries has accepted this kind of strategies, and is now promoted and applied quickly in China. And in this case, a lot of soybean meal can be saved by a lot of byproducts, especially byproducts containing higher waters, high moistures, can be used directly instead of heating it and then become completely dead. So this system, I think, is suitable for China.
That's the three Fs. So it sounds like if you're achieving feed conversion ratios of 2 and 2.3, you know, absolutely, that's certainly something to go after. So Daiwen just told us about his 3F strategy: formulation, fermentation. So fermentation involved a lot of processes that are being tried to change the grains and the byproducts that are available in China, not importing soybean meal, but utilizing some of the local ingredients and modifying them with different ways. And so that's kind of all encompassed to fermentation in his 3F. And then the last one is fluid feeding or liquid feeding that a lot of us talk about. And that's maybe adding some enzymes and other items to the water. And that what they're seeing is increases the palatability, which makes sense. I always used to say nobody likes to eat, you know, dried cornflakes with milk or cereal taste better. So that makes sense to me for the pigs to like that and actually consume more water as well with their diets. So what do you see, Daiwen, as the future for swine nutrition? What else do you see out there in your space? You know a lot of people. You've been in this area for a lot of years.
Well, I think in the future, animal nutrition will have more developed. I mean, you know, animal nutrition science is the subject of life science, and life is very complex. We still don't know how the pig thinks, how the pig behaves, and we still need to study a lot of. So I think in the future, in theory, I mean, both theory and technology should be developed, should be studied in the future. And in theory, I think three aspects are very important. One is nutrient biology, nutritional biology. We should study how the interaction of nutrient, pig, and gut microbiota, how the interaction of the three factors influence the life processes, like the health, the nutrient metabolism, the meat formation, everything. So how the interaction influences life processes. This is the main content of nutrient biology. And the second one is the synthetic biology. We should develop synthetic biology to produce more nutrients or active feed additive. For example, we can produce proteins based on the waste product, and we can produce the amino acids. We can produce all the active compounds based on the synthetic biology. Try to solve the problem of right now, many people and limit earth, limit ground, and so can solve many problems. And the second and the third is feed biology. We should develop feed biology. We should study the nutritional value of feed, the long nutritional value of feed, and the anti-nutritional value of feed. And we should develop all the database, including these three aspects, especially the feed chemical structure. Right now, we know the chemical composition, how much protein, how much amino acids, how much mineral content is the feed. But we don't know the structure, the chemical structure, and how to modify the structure and make the nutrients more utilized. So we should study the feed chemistry. So feed biology should do a lot of things. And in theory, in technology, we should develop the precision nutrition, precise nutrition, try to make the nutrients can be precisely met by the suitable feeds and feeding. So precise nutrition maybe is the more important area to combine feed science and animal nutrition science together. Of course, if who want to realize the objective, the subject interaction, the discipline interaction is very important. Maybe in the future, animal nutrition must be integrated with some other related subjects, like animal physiology, animal biochemistry, and engineering, and so on. Or even with AI science, artificial intelligence science together, only when all the subjects combined together, the new innovation can be realized. And the last one I should mention is that in order to realize the objective, education, higher education reform is very important. That means we have to cultivate the more professional talents with all the knowledge together, and it can solve all the production problems. So the university reformation is very urgent. So right now we're doing this kind of work, try to make the future science, the future professionals, the future technicians should be suitable for the future industries. So this is what I'm thinking.
Daiwen, I can tell you're so passionate about this area, and I can appreciate all of your years at university at trying to promote this area with students and get more students and more research done in this area. I can tell just as you share with me all of your ideas at your passion for this for you know many years in this area. So we're concluding our time together with Daiwen Chen, and we've been talking about swine nutrition in China. Compared to the U.S., some of the challenges that they have in China and what they're doing to improve their pig production, how they're utilizing a lot of really interesting science and technical aspects to change the feedstuffs and change the way they feed pigs in China. If you have questions or comments for Daiwen, send them out on your podcast platform. If you have a question or comment for the SwineNet podcast, send it out to us. If you liked our show, please give us a thumbs up. And Daiwen, before we sign off and head to our three final questions, I think we've covered a lot today. Give us just a short final thoughts and take homes for our listeners on maybe a challenge for the nutritionists out there or students out there.
Well, I know the swine eat from you know Dr. Chen Xixi in USA. Xixi has the law, and he has given us some conversation and some information about swine eat. And she has also interviewed some of the professionals from swine eat. So I know it from that source. And I know the swine eat is a very, very good platform for researchers and producers to learn about the technologies and the management and the industry current situations. So I like it very much because I'm swine scientist, swine producer, not producer, but I call swine scientist. So I like it very much. And in the future, I will pay more attention to the platform. And if possible, we invite you to come to China to make more population and also extend all your ideas and technologies. So I think there are huge opportunities here in China.
Yeah, there definitely are. So thank you for your compliments on the Swinit podcast show. Being a host, I have met so many different people from different areas of science and research that I was a swine veterinarian for several years. And I, you know, mostly knew swine veterinarians and producers. So it's been an opportunity for me to get out and meet people like you, Daiwen, who have been working your entire life in swine nutrition. We would never would have crossed paths if it wasn't for Swinit. So I appreciate that. And everybody at the Swinit podcast show appreciates your compliments. If you or anybody else is an opportunity for me to say, if you or anybody else has an idea for a podcast show, somebody that should be on our show, just send those ideas out to us. We love to have new guests.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. Better production performance starts with Eastman Choline Chloride. Visit eastman.com.
So, Daiwen, our last question for you is, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel set successful professionals apart from others.
Like when we read the book about the great man biographies, we found why they are succeed, why they are so succeed and become the great man. So professionals, I mean like professors should have the similar characteristic, should have similar characters. Like I think, for example, to have a very lofty ideas and ambitions, to insist on going toward the life goal, and to bear hardship, and to keep learning, to cultivate young people, to rely on team member, all the characters are very important for a successful professionals. I think this is a basic philosophy for success. Of course, opportunity is also important. Sometimes opportunity is rare, so you cannot succeed. So. For me, I don't think I'm a successful professional, but I have two features. I think I have two features, and I keep doing it and insisted right now. The first one is I did things very, very serious, very, very careful, and very strictly, and try to make all the things I take perfect. So even we have a lot of difficulty, I will try to overcome all the difficulty and to make the work, make the job become perfect. This is what I do for the past 60 years, you know, I'm now over 60s. So, and the second one, I care about my team member. I pay very, very high attention to their development, to their progress. So I will provide, try to provide the best conditions for them. And I also emphasize for all the members, I emphasize team spirit. I ask them, all them should be united as one, should be taking the common responsibility, should be sharing all the achievements. And only by this way, all the members can be developed very well. In this case, I am the team leader, well developed very well. So I think there's two categories, two features.
I think those two features are exactly what I've been seeing. We just met just a bit ago, and I can tell that you've been a great leader and a great mentor for all of your students and for your colleagues and other professors, and you're a true scientist. Your dedication to being precise and being accurate and sticking with it. So those are qualities of a great academic mentor.
I want to mention a little bit more. Right now, my group is a large group. We have over a dozen of members, and among them, there are four professors, four associate professors, and we have graduate students over 100. And each year we can publish papers in the international journals, over 40 or around 50 each year. So all the professors going very well. And a lot of students love us.
I can tell that you enjoy what you do by the smile on your face. And it's been very great to hear from you. It's been wonderful to learn about your big group of scientists and how you've seen the changes in China and your university adapt. Thank you so much for being on our show. Until next time.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me as a guest. I hope to we can have more opportunity to communicate or to meet each other.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.